Reformed Church.
Obviously, last Sunday we were talking about continuance, and we were talking about parable of the seed and the sower and that kind of thing. But just let me point something out real quick. I don't want to dwell on the parable of the seed and the sower necessarily again today, but the thing we've been pointing out, which is a truth, right, is that, for one, the parable of the seed and the sower is a salvation parable. That is important for a lot of things, because, one, it sort of enlightens you to how people really get saved, okay? That you're not saved just because you pray a prayer. Salvation, or coming to salvation, is a process, right? There is a process that before you come to a full assurance of faith or a full assurance of understanding, like Colossians 2 says. And that concept of full assurance of understanding is not a concept that I've ever heard at a different church before, okay? So this is, and it's an important thing to understand, that you didn't get, like, when you first heard the word of God, most likely, in all the probability, you were not saved when you first heard the word of God. In all probability, you were not saved when you first believed the word of God. That's important, okay? Because I understand people might agree with me when I say the first time you heard the word of God, but the first time you believed the word of God and I wasn't saved, I thought that, you know, that we're saved by faith. You are saved by faith, but you're not saved by any faith. You're saved by the full assurance of faith. You're not saved by any understanding. You're saved by the full assurance of understanding, and there's a process before you get there. That's why seeing the parable of the seed and the sower as a salvation parable really changes things. Actually, it's in Luke 8. You can see for yourself that the first kind of ground, it says that the devil takes away the word of God from that first type of person. It says, lest they believe and be saved. So you can see it's a salvation parable. It's not just talking about bearing fruit as a believer. Just so you know, the word fruit, I'm not 100% like in context, what context this word fruit is being used, but that is the point, at least, of salvation. In the parable of the seed and the sower. And you see that there's two different kinds of ground in the middle, right? That they believe. And is it they actually receive it with joy. So there's nothing wrong, just so you know. They were doing nothing wrong, all right? The two kinds of middle soil did nothing wrong when they received the word of God. It's not that they, like, received the word of God in a wrong way or they didn't really believe it or something like that. The problem was their longevity. That's the problem, right? Is that they only believed for a while. And it says that in Luke 8:13. You can throw that up there. Luke 8:13. It says, for a while they believe. That's the problem. Because they believed the word of God legitimately. In other words, there was no more legitimacy to that last kind of ground that actually bore the fruit and actually got saved. There's no more legitimacy to that ground than there was to the other two ground in the middle. You guys obviously understand what I'm referring to, right? The first type of ground didn't understand at all, but there was two middle types of ground, ground number two and ground number three, that both believed, but they only believed for a while. Ground number four, or you could say, you know, flesh number four, because obviously that's what ground is symbolizing. Flesh number four, they believed, and it says in verse 15, they bring forth fruit with patience. You see, patience there, again, I want to reemphasize this too. The word patience is not referring to waiting. The word doesn't mean to wait, okay? I understand that in modern English, when we say patience, we mean I'm waiting around for something. Again, if you tell your kids to be patient for something, you're telling them, right, to wait for something. That's not what this word means. The word patience here means to keep going. Actually, specifically, it means to remain or to stay, and can also therefore mean endurance. Actually, if you read this in the New American Standard Bible, which, just so you know, is a looser translation than the New King James or King James, New American Standard Bible is looser. And the way that you know it's a looser translation is because it constantly has little notations. And if you look at the bottom of the page, it'll say, literally, that means that. And I'm always thinking, why didn't you just put that word up here then? But anyhow, so it is a little bit of a looser translation. It's still a good translation, but it's looser. And contrary to actually some people's opinion. And so, but that says that they bear fruit. I think it says like with steadfastness or with endurance, something like that. Because that's what the word patience here actually means, all right? It means to keep going. So what this here is referring to is they bring forth fruit with continuance. They keep going. They keep in their belief. They maintain and meditate on the word. They maintain the word of God in their heart, and they don't allow themselves to be distracted from that word, okay? Again, that's the difference between the kind of person that gets saved here and the kind of person that doesn't get saved in those middle kinds of flesh. It's not that one had a more legitimate belief than the other, and it's not that one heard a better word than the other. They both have the same seed, and they both had the same belief at first. One keeps going and therefore sees the fruit of it, and the other one, halfway through, gives it up for various different reasons. So if you, in order for you to have been saved, you would have needed to hear the word of God and then continually seek that word and meditate on that word until it fully grew in your heart, okay? And when that fully grew in your heart unto a full assurance of faith, which is different than just initial faith, there is an initial faith that is not a full assurance. It's not fully grown. And then there is a full assurance of faith or a full assurance of understanding, which is a full grown understanding, okay? And just so you know, full assurance does not mean you know everything. Full assurance means that you are fully assured in a particular thing. I don't know how, if I were to show you on a graph, I don't know exactly how all the specifics of that work, but I do know that you can be fully assured of a specific thing, okay? Obviously, you don't need to know everything to get saved, and yet these people had a full assurance of understanding, at least this last person. They continued in the Word of God. And so anyway, that is a principle that we have to understand, both for our salvation and also how we walk as believers, all right? That it takes time and meditation on a word. You need time to meditate and just think about the things that God's shown you and think about the things that God's speaking to you. You need time to just think about it, okay? Like, it's good to read your Bible too, right? But just so you know, your growth doesn't come from just like constantly reading a verse over and over again. Your growth actually comes with using, there's actually a verse, I'll give you the reference, I'm not going to read this right now, but it's in Hebrews 5:14. You don't have to put that up, but just Hebrews 5:14. It's a good one to use. It talks about how you train your senses. Your mind is renewed, it says, through use, by using the word of God that you've been given. And through that constant use, see, if you read a verse, or if you hear preaching, or if God speaks something to you, and you don't use that word, you don't meditate on it, you hear it, and then you continue to just think about whatever it is that you're doing at the time throughout your day, and if that's all that you do, right? You're not using the word of God, so it doesn't have time to grow. But there is a kind of person that even when you got saved, you had to have continued in the word of God and continue seeking the word of God and meditating on the word of God, and then it grows the word of God in your heart, and then it comes to a full assurance. And if you can go to Colossians 2, verse 2, I'll have to just, go through this quickly. But Colossians 2, verse 2, this is the verse, just so you know, if you hear us say about full assurance, full assurance, full assurance, this is one of the main verses that speak about that. Also, another verse for this, if you want a verse that says full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10 says that. Actually, the verse we've been reading in the Chase Me series, he said that we can draw near with hearts like fully assured in faith, essentially. That's a sort of a paraphrase, but that's what it says in Hebrews 10. But Colossians 2, verse 2, it says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And watch this. Unto, Paul's praying for them, and it says, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. You see, the riches, or you could say the fruit, comes after the full assurance of understanding. The riches, in other words, the wealth that is to be brought forth from you, even as a believer, including also your initial salvation, only comes after there is a full growth in the word that you heard. So there is nothing wrong with you for you to have heard a good word and even continued for a while and not see fruit. All right? I'm not saying that that's God's will, that you not see fruit. I'm not saying that's God's will. The reason why God speaks to you is so that you can see fruit. The same way that the reason why the sower plants a seed is so that you can see visible manifestation in your life. I'm not saying that's the definition of the word fruit, but that's the application here. God speaks to you so you can see whatever he's teaching you in your life, manifested physically, right? He puts it in your spirit, and the Bible says, right, as we constantly refer to this verse, but it's an easy verse, though. It says that he who believes out of his belly will flow forth rivers of living water, right? That means after you believe, but that, again, is referring to a full assurance of faith. There's riches that come from a full assurance of understanding. So the Holy Spirit doesn't manifest because you heard the word of God. Now, again, someone could hear the word of God and begin tasting of the fruit, right? Because you begin manifesting in accordance with your understanding. So there is a tasting process that happens just as you're tasting the word of God. Hebrews chapter 6 explains that there are people that taste of the word of God that aren't even saved yet. And it talks about how the Holy Spirit will manifest upon them. He's not in them yet even, but he'll manifest upon them, and they can taste of the power of God and the power of the age to come. So there is a sampling that happens, but you don't see the actual full fruit for which God first spoke that word to you until you continue in it. And you are no exception to that rule. And neither am I. None of us are an exception to that rule. So that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong because you don't see a certain kind of fruit or you don't see it in the time frame that you... And just so you know, I want to say that again. It's ill-advised. Do not set time frames on yourself that God did not give you. Don't set any standards for yourself that God did not give you, because what you're doing is you're putting a yoke on yourself that God didn't give you. Don't say, well, you know what? Father, you know, I believe that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and so therefore in 1 month I'm going to see this manifestation. Go ahead and say it, and you're going to be disappointed. Unless, obviously, you receive, physically speaking, in a month. Because if God didn't give you that, why are you saying that? Just so you know, there is no benefit to making up your own confessions. I understand that we think, like, if I speak something positive, well, I have authority, so if I speak something positive, then, okay, but where are you getting this knowledge, though? Like, why don't we defer to the mind of Christ for things that we speak, right? I can speak at any point in time that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, because that's past tense, and I already know that's an absolute truth. It's not an absolute truth that I'm going to manifest that in a month. That's not an absolute truth. Unless God spoke that to me, then great. But even if I believe God speaks something to me, I confirm that with the Lord. Because guess what? You and myself, if we're renewing our minds still, you think things during your day that you may think are God and may not be God. So I wait on it and I confirm. And sometimes you have more time to do that than others. Sometimes you don't have as much time because maybe you have to make a decision at work or something like that. So you don't always have the time to stretch out to confirm something. So you need to obviously be timely. If you can't tell your boss, well, oh, I can't get this done because I'm praying about it. Like, that's not the way that works, okay? It's not their fault that you don't know at the time, right? So you have to do what you need to do. But at the same time, though, it's important to confirm and say, you know, Lord, I believe you spoke this to me. So sometimes I'll tell people, to the best of my knowledge, I think God spoke this to me. But I'm not going to set a time frame on any manifestation of myself because I'm going to disappoint myself. And I could be, check this out, I could be that last kind of ground, I'm saying in practice in my life as a believer, and I'm continuing the word of God, and I'm on my way to manifesting this fruit and the power of God. I'm already tasting of it, but I just maybe haven't seen a specific manifestation or something like that. And if I continue in that, I'm doing well. The Bible said, talks about patient continuance and doing good. And you know, if you ever want a reminder of that, he's got a tattoo of it on his wrist. So you can always just be reminded of patient continuance and doing good, right? Just so you know, if you're going to get a tattoo, just tattoo something about the Lord on yourself, because if you don't do that, then that's also ill-advised. But he's got a tattoo right there that says patient continuance, because that's actually from the book of Romans that speaks about continuance in doing good. And that could be me, and I could be doing well, and I could be on my way to seeing fruit. But because I set a standard for myself and say, oh, I'm confessing in faith. You making something up is not confessing it in faith. You understand? It's not a faith confession, because you make something up that's positive sounding. Confessing something in faith is something, confessing something you see in the spirit that's legitimate. I could say, I'm going to see it in a month. And then a month passes and I go, oh, I didn't see it. Lord, I really want to see it in a month. And then I get distressed and I end up giving up the word of God, or being distracted from the word of God, or being discouraged in my keeping the word of God and abiding in the word of God, because I made a stupid standard for myself that God never set for me. Continuance, it takes time. And I'm not saying it has to take years. I'm not saying it even has to take months. I'm not saying it even has to take days. I'm saying you don't always know where your mind is at in your learning, and therefore don't set silly standards for yourself. It takes time, and the riches come from a full assurance of understanding. Full assurance of understanding, and a continuance in that word until, that's what the parable of the seed and sower is all about. Not a believing for a while, but a continued believing, and then fruit is at the end, not of the rainbow, it's at the end of your patience, at the end of your continuance. That's where the riches lie. That's where the wealth lies, is after your continuance. Look at verse, very quickly. Let's jump down to verse 4. Colossians 2:4, and we'll end right here. Colossians 2:4. You understand, right, that in the parable of the seed and the sower, it shows people at different stages of their acceptance of the word of God and different stages in their continuance, right? It's got like the first kind that doesn't understand it at all, the second kind that gets distracted by certain things, the third kind that gets distracted by other things, and then the fourth kind that continues and with patience bears fruit, right? Well, there's a whole process. I've been saying, right, that there's a process to receiving from God, and not a process because, let me say this too. It's not a process because it's all in God's timing. It's a process because learning is all in our timing. You understand that? Learning is all in our timing. And it does, and even if you were pedal to the metal, right? You're learning gung-ho exactly as you should. It still takes time. So you're not going to avoid the time thing because it takes time to learn. But seeing manifestation in your life is not in God's timing in the sense that, well, God doesn't really want to manifest his power in you right now. He's waiting for later. God's timing was 2,000 years ago. And that's why in the book of Hebrews, he rightly says, today is the day to enter the promised land. Because that's what he's referring to, right? Today is the day. Joshua didn't give them the real promised land. Jesus is the reality of Joshua bringing them into the promised land. And if Joshua had really given them the promised land, God would not have spoken of another day afterwards in which he says, today through David is the day to enter the land that God has promised and given and sown inside of you. Today is the day to enter those things, right? So when's God's timing to provide these things to you? 2,000 years ago. When's God's timing for us to receive of the power? Today. Guess what? That still does not exempt you from the process of learning, though. She said, oh, but today's the day to receive, so, you know, today I have to, you know, look for some kind of fruit that I see in my life today. And if God said today's the day to receive, then I'm not doing what God wants me to do if I don't see a manifestation today. That's not what it's talking about. God is just telling you, listen, I'm always for you receiving my power. I'm always for that. Today is the day. On his end, every day is a great day for that. But it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong because you don't see the fruit today in full, because it takes time. And here he explains the process. So we just read in Colossians 2, right, that there's riches that come after the full assurance of understanding. But I've been telling you that there's a process to get there, right? Well, guess what? He explains the process here. And you'll notice it sounds exactly like the parable of the seed and the sower. Verse 4 says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For it says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. Look at these words. Joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness, the continuance of your faith in Christ, right? So he said, I'm rejoicing over the fact that I see you're being steadfast in your meditation on the things that God is speaking to you. Don't let those go. Don't be discouraged. Cast not your confidence away, because it has great recompense of reward. God has something great in store for every person, but not without a continuance in his word. And just so you know, we'll get into this in the future, but this is why people that we see, quote unquote, that look saved, and then all of a sudden they leave church and they're like, they don't even care about God anymore. And you're like, oh, people said they lost their salvation. No, we'll go over that in the future, but no, they didn't lose their salvation, but they were in the process and they never got there. They didn't continue. Anyway, let's keep reading. Look at verse 6. Here's the process. He says, I'm beholding your steadfastness in your faith, and it makes me happy, because that's something to be happy about, right? Is that it's being steadfast in the faith, right? That's a good thing. But he says in verse 6, but as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So this is the verse I've been saying, right? The same way you get saved, in other words, the same way that you receive Christ Jesus, we walk by those same principles as believers, and then he lays out these principles here. So he says, listen, I see you're being steadfast, but remember, the same way you got saved is the same way you got to walk in Christ. Walk as a believer the same way you got saved. And how is that, Paul? Well, look at the next verse. He explains to them how they received Christ Jesus the Lord, and therefore how they walk in him as well, how you come to a full assurance. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Clearly, that is the growth process, being built up in him, rooted and being built up in him. You'll notice, right, that it's some soils that said that they didn't, or ground, said they had no root in themselves, or they had no depth of earth, right? Which seems to mean something. I have a foggy idea of what that means, that it seems that it probably means like they had rooted. In other words, they had no depth of earth. I think last time what I was telling you is that it had not, like, permeated their mind fully, you know, like it's a partial knowledge, right? But rooted and built up in him, that's the growth, and established in the faith, clearly being established in the faith, that's the end, right? You grow until you're established in it, that's the full assurance there, and what happens after that? As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What? Abounding therein. Abounding therein in what? In what? Abounding because you've been established in your faith. You were rooted and built up That's the growth. Then you are established in the faith. That's the full assurance. And then what happens? What did he say above? There's a richness, a wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding, right? Here he says, when you're established in the faith, as you have been taught, you will abound therein. There will be an abundance for you at the end of your continuance. Or riches from the full assurance of understanding. So you see, when does the abundance come after you are established in the faith? And how do you get established in the faith? You need to be rooted and built up in him, and that's that growth process. So you see those like three steps, rooted and built up in him, then established in the faith, and then there's the abundance after that. Who God is to be thanked for. That is the process. And notice that when he listed that process, he said that that's how you received Christ Jesus the Lord, and that's how you walk in him. That principle goes for everything. Just as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It goes for everything. You notice how much work did you do to be saved? No work. You're probably sitting there and you were hearing the word of God or you were meditating on it and you got saved. Boom, just right there. So it didn't take work. It was just belief. It was just belief in what Jesus had done. And guess what? Those are the same principles that you notice, especially at Reformed Church, we apply to everything. You want abundance. You want to prosper financially because God's will is today that you would be wealthy physically. And don't make apologies for that. Otherwise, you're being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God says that he's given me the power to get wealth in Deuteronomy chapter 8, then I'm not ashamed of that. And it's the same principle for anything that you want to receive in your life. Is rooted and built up in him, established in that faith, and therefore there's an abundance that comes once you're established in it. And guess what? You don't always know when you're established in it. But you know one thing, that there's never a time is that's a good time to give up the word of God. It's always a good time to continue in the word of God. In fact, only those that continue until the end are actually saved, because a proof of your salvation is that you keep going in the word of God. Doesn't mean you think everything right. Doesn't mean you do everything right. Far be it. It's actually just that you get one thing right, and that is, you know what, Lord? I continue to seek you. And if you get distracted, you know what you do? You keep seeking him. You do it again, right? That's how it works. You do it again. If I get distracted, you know what I say? Thank you so much, Jesus, that my righteousness is not for me. And I'm not qualified because of me. Thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. And I keep meditating. And if you keep doing that, there's an abundance or riches that come from that full assurance of understanding.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.